Yes.
Often there is talks about something which is always present, a kind of background.
Yeah.
Except you don't talk about it.
No, because you would know that.
It's told that is what you are.
Well, yeah, that's just because it's easy to be able to talk like that.
Yeah.
Like, even me, like, I'm like, there is something here which you always are. I do say that, but it's more immediate than that, a background. It is everything.
So it's not like the nothingness? You talk about everything nothing?
Nothing, yeah. You can't see the background. Mm-hmm. How would you see a background? And what would be separate? What would be a separate background? Often when there's awakening, there's a seeing of awareness intellectually, but that's just a seeing of awareness intellectually. You can't actually see it.
I don't know, in a way, in the full experience, that there is something which changes. And something which does not change.
Yeah. You can't see that which doesn't change because it is the changing. It is the movement. So how would you see it, the not changing?
Yeah, you cannot see it.
Yeah, it is always this.
Yet there's this sense or feeling, for lack of a better word.
Does this what?
Sense or feeling, for lack of a better word.
The sense of?
There's a sense or feeling of this, for lack of a better word, the nothingness of the background or the space.
I don't think it is a sense. I think it's the less that it gets clouded, the less that the ideas seem true. So I don't know if it's sensed as such. Because what would sense it more? I mean, it'd be easy for me to just say that and we could agree. Like I could say resonance or sensing. But ultimately, it's always been there. It's just there's not so many deviations into positions of this is me, this is what I know. So I just think of it more of a less clouding. But we can say that, like I often say, a resonance.
I find it difficult not to identify with my body, because in some respects it seems obvious that I'm not the body, and yet it seems the centre of my perception, so it feels that I am this body.
But it's not the centre of your perception. That's the biggest lie.
I didn't feel like I reside in here.
But what's that? What's this? What is that? So you say that you reside in here. Is that... That's not your body. Then you do that. This endlessness. There's a quick imagination of your head. And then there's an inside the head. But it's not. When you even do this, there's nobody there. There's no body. The body is never seen. Very rarely seen.
What is actually that endlessness you talk about? Because that isn't seen either.
No. Right, here the endlessness. This is the endlessness. The position of the person is I'm sitting here watching, and this is my limitation, and the world is out there. But where's the divide? only in the person that thinks they know something. There's nobody that knows anything. There's just boundlessness, which is everything, and everything is nothing. Everything is nothing. It's not a thing. All things are constantly moving. Energy is constantly changing, just like this. At what point is there a thing? A thing. Oops. A thing. Oops.
Yeah, but is that what you mean with nothing? Not a thing?
Yeah. Not a thing. Mm. No thing.
Yeah.
You've got an imagination of nothing, haven't you?
Yeah, well, the
word... As blackness or something.
Yeah, or a void, or space.
Yes. But this is space. This is void. You've got an imagination of void, therefore you're looking for a void. This is void. You've been taught what nothingness is, and then you're trying to put it onto what I'm saying.
I feel like my intelligence lies here. I'm understanding everything from something inside here.
Yeah. And then there's something else out there. Are you sure that intelligence isn't everywhere? Yeah. How do you know it's in there?
Sorry, I'm going back to what we're talking about, because I feel like, I know that, I feel, yeah, but it feels like consciousness lies in here.
Yeah. And where does in here, where's in here? There's actually no difference from out there and in here. It's just understanding that's telling a quick story of, this is my body, this is my body sensing.
I don't know, because you get a headache in here if you're thinking too much. The only reason I say there's nothing here is because I know it's changing all the time. And it's illusory because I can be identified with the thinking process, which is slow.
And where is that thinking process happening?
In here.
In your thinking? Are you sure? Where is the thought exactly now? So you're thinking of this word?
It feels it's in here somewhere.
Are you positive?
Yeah.
Be positive that the thought isn't happening out here.
I feel like there's a receptor here. So even if there's a thought, like you can read someone's body language or read something out there, still there's a receptor here which is interpreting it.
Yeah. Even if the thoughts are in or outside of this head, that's not who you are. It's all happening in it. Even wherever the thoughts are appearing, they're appearing in the same way that this wall is appearing.
I can see that I'm not the thoughts, but there's something else there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like something which knows that I'm not the thoughts.
That's another thought, actually.
Okay. So
but there is something else.
I mean, there's even something here that senses that I don't need to be attached to anything.
That's still another thought, though. It's appearing in it. That's an appearance. It's not here, the position of that, whatever you call it. It's actually everywhere and nowhere. It's just the description is placing it. But the thought of, I know I'm not a thought, is appearing in it as a thought. It's all appearing in it, but there's this vastness which is everywhere and nowhere.
You're also saying there's no here and there.
It just feels like energy.
Yeah, it's all energy. So there's not a your energy different from the world.
It feels like there's a computer inside here which sees it.
Isn't that only at the moment when you look at it?
What do you mean, I look at it?
Well, it's what I sense with myself. I was thinking, and it was kind of woolen everywhere. And then I thought, whoop, and I felt this kind of contraction in this place. And then I found it in this place. What I mean to say is there are also moments when you not feel that you're thinking it's here. No, it's not funny.
And that's in his pocket.
What is that? Yeah. It's a miracle. Like, I am the
concept.
Like, I had a teacher, he was an alcoholic, and his liver was still...
There's no better of being an alcoholic or not.
No, but he was going through operation, his liver was totally damaged
because of
the alcohol.
And then it got better, that's not a miracle.
And then he realized that he didn't have to do the operation because he realized I'm not the body, and then it was, you know, is that concept?
I don't know what that is. But it's concept now that it's happened. But it's not a miracle. Everything's a miracle. How could you say that one thing's a miracle over another? Getting ill is just as much a miracle as getting better. You need to get better by the doctor. Miracles are drama that humans love. I'm back to humor.
I mean, there's a thought which sees things are unreal, and yeah. The thoughts that I'm usually identified with are unreal because they're all changing.
Yeah.
And that I don't need to.
And
be
even inside and outside, I still use a thought. There's no different from the computer. If there is a computer in here interpreting, if the brain is interpreting, I don't know how it's working, then that it's interpreting, then that which is interpreted. It's all the same energy.
Yeah, much more refined.
Which one's more refined?
The one that can perceive that all thinking is a form of identification or attachment, and it's illusory because I don't need to be bound by its rules because I'm not that.
No, I don't think it is more refined. It's all just appearances.
But isn't it a perception to realise that I don't need to worry? That's an attachment.
You know? So it doesn't make it, it's not more refined worrying or not worrying. It's only more pleasurable for the person that's worrying.
Or more pleasurable for the person who's seen through it.
Yeah, and the person that's seen through it is the same person that doesn't want to worry.
Yeah.
Just thought energy that's taking a position of me.
But people confuse that. I think maybe for consciousness, people would say that's being more conscious.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no more conscious like that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just all appearances. You are not any of the positions of the thoughts.
It's strange, but it's not giving me immediately says, yes, I see that. Yeah. And it also argues that, but it's more
refined.
It feels more healthier to the body, you know.
Well, maybe, yeah, maybe it feels more healthier, but that's not what we're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. It's more healthier not to worry.
Yeah.
It's more pleasurable not to be negative, but
yeah.
That's not what we're talking about.
But it is another form of thought energy,
yeah.
Yeah. Just because you're not thinking in a clog or not thinking in such an unconscious way.
It's just still a thought.
And we have this status thing, like that's a superior.
Yeah. And it's not. But it will be more pleasurable, the experience of the story of the person will be nicer if it's less negative, if it worries less. But that's not what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Still all for somebody in a story, in a position. We're talking about this boundlessness, which is everything and nothing. That thought, all those thoughts that are appearing in this. They're not appearing in Schumann. Schumann is another appearance. Feels like it's in there, but it really isn't.
So you're saying it's everywhere.
But how do you know it's in there? You only know by thought, and when a thought's been trustworthy, that's such a tiny, tiny part of experiencing. But we've taken that to be the reality than the actual experience. And that actual experience is boundlessness. Right here, but right here. Not something you're interpreting, just the intimacy of what is. There's no sense and sensing. There's no seeing and seeing. There's no hearing and heard. That's all an interpretation.
And how do you know it's everywhere? It's there.
Actually, I don't. It's everything I say is a big lie. when
is it known that it is everywhere?
You don't actually, and everything what I say is lying. But what we're pointing back to is the experience, and this is where I cannot answer it. at all. Like, I can't speak about it. I can't put this into words. But there's a knowing of this intimacy of experiencing. And I can't talk about it. I can try and point to it, and I can try and say the opposite to what you think. It's so innocent, what is. And it's not divided. And even that, me saying it's not divided, we only know that through the idea of division. So it's all illusion every time I speak. Mm-hmm. Not divided, division, oneness, boundlessness, boundlessness. And as all that fog begins to disappear like smoke, then it's just what is. And what is free. And even the person that dreams in opposites is free as well, but it feels like it's not because it's in opposites. It's in a world with right and wrong, good and bad, future and past, love and hate, war and peace. It's a dream world. It gets so weird what is. And chaotic. But I'm a big fat liar. Well, slim maybe. Well, next to me, I'm fat. It's all relative. And then at the same time, you can say I'm not a liar because I'm like a bird singing the bird. Like, you don't call the bird a liar.
Mm-hmm.
But the meaning, like the fact that I'm implying it has meaning or truth, is a lie. It's like a bird. Like in another way, nobody could be a liar.
Mm.
It's just sounds appearing and there's associated meaning. And
are you understanding what you're speaking, or you don't care?
No. It's just something. And then every so often a thought comes that it's just even making sense. It could be like that guy on that video. It's going, every so often I see the head's like, you know, the one, the video last night that we were watching, a few of us were watching, where he was like, they were like, what's the meaning of life? And he was like, this, and then suddenly he would be like, we have to watch it now, don't we?
Yeah.
We've also got the cartoon to watch. What a crazy world this is. Does anyone know what that cartoon was called? No, not the cartoon, that video with the guy.
Crazy man speaking.
Yeah.
No. Words of wisdom from an unexpected citizen.
Just YouTube.
Words of
wisdom.
What's right? Oh, yeah. What
an
unexpected
person. And to live in mystery and to find purpose and to live in the now and magic.
Because the TV is away. Oh, yeah.
What's your most adventurous memory?
Huh?
I remember this!
Jesus.
Yeah. This is an adventure! This is the memory! Younger generations? Live in the moment! Don't get old! Don't judge people! Because you can't be free! And you judge people! Love now! Create! Inspire! By doing what you love, this, the moment, love, now, it repeats.
Oh, God.
That you're already doing. You're always doing what's in your heart. You can't get away from your heart. Because life is a paradox. It's a mirror of confusion. So, love now. I love all of you.
This is what awakening will bring. This is the destination.
What was it called? Yes, yes.
Words of wisdom from an unexpected citizen. So this is the cartoons part two. I've never seen this one, so it might be Nap. Sometimes sequels are Nap. Nap is not very good.
I hope you don't mind. Not at all. Thank you. Some people say that we are all programmed body, mind, organisms with no true free will, and that knowing this sets us free. Others say we all share the same consciousness. I am having trouble reconciling all these ideas.
The most important thing is for you to come to the truth of things on your own. Anything anybody tells you is just second-hand knowledge, and it won't be very much for you when it comes to the actual day-to-day living of life. But I can offer you some ideas to play with if you like.
Thank you.
Good. Have I told you the story about the triplets?
No.
There was once a set of identical triplets born. This is a very rare happening, and the villagers were scared and suspicious. The triplets were separated at birth and sent to live in three different kingdoms. They grew up never knowing about each other. They were all highly intelligent, ambitious, and strong. When they grew up, they quickly rose to leadership roles within their respective kingdoms. They now spoke different languages, wore different clothing, and believed in different gods. There was much disagreement between the kingdoms, and eventually a great war was waged. The three brothers tragically died on the same battlefield, fighting each other.
I see. So they were conditioned by their surroundings?
Yes. They were also genetically conditioned to be ambitious and strong. The interesting thing is that although they were easily able to see their other brothers' conditioning, they were mostly unaware of their own conditioning. Their deeply held personal, political, and religious beliefs, the things from where they derived their identities, was all programmed from their immediate environment. Had they never been separated, they likely would have been fighting side by side rather than against each other.
Interesting. But how does knowing that I'm conditioned help me?
Seeing your own conditioning directly can allow your true unconditioned consciousness to become apparent. This is an incredible thing. You will see that you are the same consciousness as everyone else, and a natural humility may arise, along with compassion for others who are conditioned differently.
Wait, you just mentioned a conditioned consciousness. What is that?
It's what you really are, underneath all the conditioning.
Oh, like the pixels we talked about last time?
Yes, exactly. Like the pixels.
But I don't see how that makes us have the same consciousness. I am standing here, and you are over there. My lower back hurts right now. Can you feel that?
No. And you cannot see those trippy-looking trees behind you that I can. Let's try a new metaphor this time. I want you to imagine a paperback turned upside down.
Okay.
Now let's poke hundreds of holes in the paperback and place it over a bright light. Got it?
Yes.
Notice that there is only one line, but it is shooting out of different holes. Each hole...
It's all right.
These people? They're not called anything. This one's just called What's My True Nature. But they don't have names. But you can look up non-duality cartoon and it comes up.
Yes.
Notice that there is only one line, but it is shooting out of different holes. Each hole has...
Stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The try again.
There is only one line, but it is putting out of different holes. Each hole.
Maybe because of the screaming, you do it at the same time.
Yeah, maybe.
I have some more questions for you.
No, doesn't seem to want to go. Oh,
you do. You said I can. Let's try it. But there is only one line, and it is shooting out of different holes. Each hole is in a different place, with a different view, but it is the same light, the same source.
Oh, yes, I see.
Remember, the paper bag, the pixels, and the triplets are all just metaphors, and are not very important. What's important is that you discover this unconditioned consciousness for yourself. See that every thought you have is conditioned. Even the language that you think with is conditioned by where your body was born. Your thoughts and beliefs are not who you are, even though that's what they tell you.
Whoa. You have given me a lot to think about.
Thinking can be fun. But remember to question your thinking, too. That is where the ultimate fun is to be found.
Thank you.
It's sweet, this cartoon. Oh, very nice. It kind of fits. I've never heard that before. It kind of fits with what we're talking about. I've questioned your thinking.
Very nice. Very nice.
Consciousness is a nice way to put it, but consciousness too has to go. It's a thought. Yeah, it's very sweet. Yeah. Well, what's your next one tonight, this afternoon? Well... Why should we start now? Just about cleared everything, I think. It's all nothing. It's all about nothing.
Nothing. But who's saying nothing?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
It's just happening.
Yeah. It's just happening. You could say that you could say this is speaking, but then ultimately, who is speaking? Who is it that makes these words? Who is it that puts the impulses in the body? Who's it that created the brain, or the light, or the smells, or the water that the body needs?
No, no, who? What?
What?
What is going on?
Lisa?
Yes.
Maybe, probably not directly the domain you were going to talk about, but I was talking about last night about being in a group and communicating, and sometimes it can be experienced here as frustrating that there's only this small talk. Almost everything is like small talk, and it feels so distant. And we were talking about this is probably a problem that is created here, and it's not a problem out there.
Always. Always is.
It always is. Every problem is created
here. The only problems that is the person.
Yes.
That's the only problem is the person. But yes, carry on.
No, actually, yesterday I was trying to examine, and not only yesterday, probably all my life, aren't there any other ways to be together, almost like in communion?
No, because you're looking at the problem and then trying to fix it out in the flow of life.
Mm.
The problem is always the person that's interpreting it. I know that feels so funky sometimes. There's an energetic reaction and discomfort when sitting at a table and we're all talking about nonsense or something or makeup, and there's a feeling maybe of feeling alienated or uncomfortable. The only problem is the person that's interpreting it.
Mm-hmm.
It's never the flow of life. Mm-hmm. So it's never about having a perfect society or having a perfect communion or changing anything. Mm-hmm. This is exactly as it's meant to be. This isn't going wrong. The mind so quickly goes to look to things to fix it, because if it can fix things, then it believes that it can do something.
Mm-hmm.
If it's about I'm the problem, then... But then it can try and start fixing itself, and then gets into spirituality and tries to fix itself, and then it's just the opposite projection, which is the same thing. It's just the world's out there and I'm in here, but it's the same thing.
Whenever I experience discomfort in my life, that would be the place I experience it. And that is why I'm so very much drawn into nature, because it does not happen there.
Yeah.
But it keeps coming back.
It's only the person, though. Yeah. But you can't sort out the person either. While the person's there appearing and there's discomfort.
No, I will have to sit it out.
It's not even you have to sit it out, there's not anyone behind the
discomfort. No, I will have to sit out the person.
But you can't even do that.
No.
There's not even a you there that could.
Yeah.
And then when it's not arising. And it can't make sense of this. The mind cannot make sense of feelings and tell the stories of I always feel uncomfortable. It's playing tricks on you.
Mm.
Or not even on you, there's not you there, but it's playing tricks. As if it can round up life or itself. There's discomfort. That's it. Hang on. And you can see so clearly how the activity is always being looking to fix that discomfort. And it's impossible. Well, there's discomfort. Thus end of. And it will never fix life. Life is just so radical in its appearances. And always coming in opposites. You have the joy of winning, you have the joy of losing. You have the joy of growth, you have the joy of not the joy of death, or the joy.
Is really the unbearable lightness of being. That's what it's about.
Have you read that book?
Yes, I did. It's exactly what it is about.
I love that title.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
The unbearable lightness of being. What a great title.
Yeah.
And it's endless. This is never going to end.
Yeah.
Oh god, I got a bit of a bullshit. I just came out in response to that moment, and I look at you and I don't know
That's one thing my mind finds a little bit confusing is you're talking about a lot of this stuff,
yeah.
And you're saying things like it's endless, it's this, it's that, or whatever, and the thing is, where is this coming from? It's not a knowing, it's not an experience, it's not a sense, but why would someone say these things?
No. Why talking about makeup and nail varnish and food? Why any of it?
Well, food keeps the body alive. There's certain practical things around the things you just mentioned. But anyone asserting that things are endless and it's just this and it's just happening or any of it, you know, where is this coming from? If there's no experience that it's coming from, how can this even be said or shared, or why even?
It's just like a blank hole.
And there's little things come out like this black hole, which is like a magic hat, and things just pop out. And it's just sometimes the mouth, and it's pop out of the mouth.
So that's what's happening there, right?
Yeah.
Given the appearance of somebody linear, it's always, well, sometimes doesn't, most of the time does, it gives its appearance of someone linear. But really, ultimately, it's all just blah.
But if I tell somebody, you know, it's an infinite or this or that, it's usually from my illusion of an experience or a sense or this feeling or sense of endlessness that something expands beyond something that I can comprehend.
So you normally speak from an intellectual knowing or something?
There are experiences, senses and feelings, and then they get put into words and they get expressed.
Yeah. Now what's happening? It's just coming from the black hole?
It's just
black hole is just complete nonsense, but it's an easy way to just say something is coming from nowhere.
Yeah, it's just coming out.
You know when, like, what it feels like, particularly nearly all the time, I think, although it's really hard to think about, is, you know, when you're driving, or when, are you an artist of any sort?
No.
You like extreme sports or anything, or?
Used to.
Yes. You know when you're doing something like driving the car really fast or jumping off a cliff, or say if you're parachuting and there's actions that have to do it to be done really quickly, you know how they just happen? Particularly driving the car, that's what I have experience of, is when you're driving, you drive really fast or something and the body's just responding, or if you're in a crash and the body's just responding. That's what these talks feel like. Actually, the whole of life feels like that. Sometimes there's a bit more self-awareness of the body when organising trips or something. There's a bit more of thinking and looking at Lisa, but most of the time it's just really immediate, like, blah. And it all comes with contradictions and makes it sound like I know what I'm talking about, or I know something. And it always sounds odd, because then I'll say I don't understand, and it really sounds like somebody speaking from time, but it just feels like a response is happening immediately. And I'm not really, there's not really any understanding or comprehension of it. It's like driving a car. But isn't that how that nodding is happening now?
You don't have a sense that you're observing.
No.
It's just you're part of what is happening.
Yeah, it doesn't even feel like I'm part of what's happening. It's just what's happening. And there's not a barrier anymore between the things and the observer and
right.
observing. It's like an, it's like love, really. Not in a feeling way. It's just intimate.
Mm.
You couldn't find the difference between that which is looked at and the looker.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is just as important as Lisa, but if there was a machinist, Lisa, machine gun is Lisa's body, but I'm warm. But everything is just as important.
Mm-hmm.
His body's programmed to do those sort of things, but in the moment, there's just this doesn't belong to somebody. Which is what's happening there too. Because every so often, a story runs of it's happening to me, and then this is who I am, and a position of this.
But also, there's this like sort of the observer, which is like another piece of the me.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so this is often the way that non-duality is heard, and it's I certainly don't see it as a bad or wrong thing, nothing's bad or wrong, but it's the observer or the witness or all these sort of things, it makes it very clear that this isn't separate, but then the observer dies as well, the witness dies as well, because that's obviously something that's known.
Yeah.
That's understood, and something that's slightly separate from everything.
Yeah.
Because it is understood, less attention goes towards it, and because of that, it's disappearing, or...?
I don't know how it works.
Evaporating?
I don't know how it works. But it's often that that's what's heard, first of all, is the witness or the observer, or, you know, like, aware, you are awareness, all those sort of things. It makes it easier to talk about, and more logical. But I really don't know how this works, but what tends to happen is a hearing of one duality and the energy stops going into that person. But you know, I've met people where that's not the case, and then I've met people where they didn't even hear non-duality. I really don't know the way it works.
Even though I've heard you say from time to time that there is no hope, that hope can't exist, just the fact of giving talks like this and going on YouTube stream, and it is a kind of way of sharing a love story of your, sounds very grandiose, instead of the falling away of the suffering of Lisa. So that there is hope that that suffering will fall away for all of us. That's how it's said.
Yeah, it's funny though, because that's not the motivation that's here, because I really don't see Lisa has fallen away. I know that sounds really odd, but it's just so irrelevant here, that part. Most of the time it's just impulses and urges and acting themselves out and speaking with people. There certainly is like a sweetness in sharing this with people, but not because of the idea of...
It's not like, I did it, you can do it.
Yeah, it's not like an idea of us going somewhere. Yeah. But when we're talking, it's like... There's a mountain. It's very sweet. But it just happens. I really don't have the idea that I've fallen away and got something to teach you guys. It's really funny, that idea.
But you could say there is a moment in this illusion of time, space, where suffering in this body, mind mechanism decreased, and and the farther you get away in the illusion of space from that, that story becomes very vague.
Yeah.
Like it almost didn't happen.
And most of it just seems so, it seems like these images and smells and I can vaguely see. But when I'm speaking to you, that's not there at all.
No. But it's from there, from that space of where the knee fell away. So there's this openness or this spaciousness from which that what you say maybe arises. Because you're not trying to convert anybody or help anybody. It's just coming from a space. It seems that it exists because that there was an end to suffering at one point.
Yeah.
Maybe that doesn't matter to know why, you know.
It's just got no juice in that issue for me.
Right.
But I understand that from the other side it might be a little bit interesting to know that something's moved here.
Yeah, but there's that kind of hope, huh? It happened to her, it happened to me. Yeah.
It's so funny, this mind is totally not interested in certain things, and then other things it really like. And that's just one that's just so little juicy. But here.
But it can be juicy for the listeners.
Yeah. But that, I'm not sure about that, because if that's so, then this body would speak about it more.
No.
Nobody in the room has any questions, then no speaking will happen. Or even if people fake questions in the room, this body still won't speak. So I'm not sure if you guys really give a shit about the story of Lisa, because otherwise I would speak about it with you.
Well, this maybe it's because most of us know it, huh?
Oh, right.
Well, you got a new group of arbitrary spiritual seekers, huh?
You probably
get a lot of questions. How did it happen to you?
Maybe you didn't remember.
Just because we're veterans, huh?
I wanted to know what I saw as a stupid question.
That's so funny, Lisa. That's so funny. An idea of Lisa. Isn't that funny? I don't see Lisa at all. I never see this body. Just in the mirror when you do that.
Lisa.
Yes.
This love thing and this opening of the heart thing, which is often seen in non-duality places also. How got that mixed up?
The thing is, in non-duality is it's always so funny because I know nothing, but here we go. The thing with non-duality is unlike some speakers, I don't know that, like, sometimes when some speakers are speaking, and it might even be happening here, there's still ideas present, there's still ideas that they think they know. So sometimes non-duality gets mixed with saving the world, one thing, or healing yourself. And it's just, it must be, because in that dynamic, they still believe in that. But I don't really know, ultimately. It's just what's coming out now for you in this moment.
But like a second ago, you said that
love.
Did you not mention love, like when somebody asked you about
what
that is? So is that the love that you're talking about? Like
you said love, but not in the feeling. That's what you added.
And he said in a heart opening,
which
I attempted as an emotion. Like you get some speakers that say you've got to feel the love or open your heart or open your check it on the stand. What exactly did you mean? You've got to follow your heart's desire.
Not the speakers maybe who proclaim it, but just the love. Weekends I went to, there was so much hugging and love and transmissions. Hearing you talk.
This is what I thought you meant.
But what do they mean by Ramana is the way of the heart and Nishikata is the way of the mind? I mean, that's also bullshit.
It's all bullshit though. I'm a bullshitter.
Yeah.
But most people don't. Most people. But Ramana Maharshi is also a bullshitter. Everyone is. Back we go.
But aren't they well-meaning? They're well-meaning.
Everybody
is. Everybody's
well-meaning. Yeah. Everybody is. Nobody means to not be well-being.
So it's experiences.
Everyone does everything out of the idea of happiness, even the pedophile. Everyone's like, yeah. Well, first, no, she was like, hang on. I don't think the pedophile did. Hang on. I nearly got away with it.
But there's nobody there to have a desire or an intention or
I meant like everybody that's speaking, the person is always well-meaning. Every person is always well-meaning. The person, the setup of the person, all the person is, the illusion of self, is somebody that's looking for happiness. That's all they are. There's not a bad person. There's just the looking for happiness, and sometimes that looking for happiness results in disaster for others. But everybody, there's not really nobody's really a bad, there's not a bad person. That doesn't exist. There's a mechanism of looking for happiness, and in looking for that happiness, some weird and funky things happen.
Well, I'll be back to that. Everyone's at a different level of consciousness. Look back to that word, consciousness then. Some would say that some people are deeply unconscious, those that would manipulate or abuse others to derive their own.
But in a way, there's no separation from it, because in order for anybody to exist, there has to be destruction of other things for anybody. And it just goes to different extremes. So there's some body mind mechanisms in their seeking for happiness. They seem to destroy a lot more things. But there's not really a bad. There's not a bad person. There's just a functioning playing out. have a more conscious person. There's either that seeking energy there, which is looking for its happiness, or not. And when that seeker's not there, the reason they say it's selfless, not because you'll see them necessarily die for other people, but just because they're not trying to find their completion in things, so therefore things aren't very important anymore. They're not going to kill for things anymore to try and get it. Well, the seeker's there. The main function is to find my happiness. It's just the way it goes. I've got to find my... Because all seekers feel vulnerable and abandoned by God. They've got this sense of abandonment. They've been rejected by life. So they're just trying, all of them, they're just trying to fill that hole. So whether they are the saint or the sinner, it's the same motivation.
But then it comes to art, in the sense that, you know, the meaning of art is to put everything in its right place. So some people, in seeking happiness, they don't know the art of it, and they create a lot of confusion and destruction, whereas other people have the art.
I think all the seekers there, it's just got one goal. Whether how delicate or not delicate, how much it destroys, there's not somebody there that's separately destroying stuff anyway. Like, so say if we take Hitler and Mother Teresa, Mother Teresa helped the growth of humans, but obviously by the growth of humans there'll be destruction of other forms. Hitler, I'm sorry, we have to go. Always does in every talk. Hitler destroyed humans, and obviously that human destruction would have helped grow other things, because that energy will turn into something else.
No, I think there's a bigger picture. Because both... No, that's an example of how really people are puppets.
Yeah.
And there's a bigger picture.
What's the bigger picture?
They're both conditioned. Yeah. Mother Teresa and Hitler are both conditioned entities. And unfortunately, they also serve the interests. They're like puppets in a string. There's a bigger picture behind them who in fact benefits from both Mother Teresa and Hitler.
And what's behind them, the bigger picture?
Well, also unconscious people in power. They, I think...
But aren't they just puppets as well?
They are, but they're at least conscious of what's below them. And there's a lot of unconsciousness in both Mother Teresa and Hitler, which is why they had to play their roles.
But then who's the big puppeteer of the ones, right, if you keep going back, so say these are influenced by other humans, and then those humans influenced by other humans, and those humans, who's the one that's right at the back of it all? The Big Bang. I have a very nice Alan Quatts. Alan Watts. I mixed it with quotes and Watts.
Quatsy.
Yeah, that's it.
Who's at the back of it all? I love it, because when you think, you really facially express it. It's very sweet. Most people just go, yes. Now you're going to try not to do that. No one else can see it.
It's funny, because the people who manipulate people like Mother Teresa and Hitler are themselves unconscious, because they're just doing it to derive benefit for themselves or their clique, and they understand how humans can be conditioned and things like that.
But then they too are also puppets.
They are.
Everybody is a puppet. Yeah. And you're right, it's like a flow of energy, like everything affects everything. Like it's all a movement of energy. But then who's the main puppeteer? when's the number one action, the Big Bang? I'm going to read this to you. Not that I'm not really that. I've never really studied Alan Watts. And I don't know. Just a couple of quotes I found this I really enjoyed.
I think Alan Watts had a relationship with Carl Jung, no?
Okay.
Carl Jung?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the disciple of Freud, the breakaway guy from Freud. And I think they had a lot of correspondence.
Yeah. And he was also a Buddhist, very into to Buddhism as well. Okay, it's called a bottle of ink. So this is from Alan Watts. It's like you took a bottle of ink and you threw it at a wall, smash, and all the ink spreads. And in the middle it's dense, isn't it? And as it gets out on the edges, the little droplets get finer and finer and make more complicated patterns. See? So in the same way, there was a big bang at the beginning of all things and it spread. And you and I sitting here in the room as complicated human beings are way, way out on the fringe of that bang. We are the complicated little patterns on the end of it. Very interesting. But so we define ourselves as being only that. If you think that you are only inside your skin, you define yourself as one very complicated little circle. Or forget that word, circle in the end. Way out on the edge of that explosion. Way out in space. And way out in time, billions of years ago, you were a Big Bang, but now you're a complicated human being. And then we cut ourselves off and don't feel that we're still the Big Bang. But you are. Depends how you define yourself. You're actually, if this is the way things started, if there was a Big Bang in the beginning, you're not something that's a result of the Big Bang. You're not something that's sort of a puppet on the end of the process. You are the process. You are the Big Bang. The original force of the universe coming on as whoever you are. When I meet you, I see not just you defined as Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so. I see every one of you as primordial energy of the universe coming at me in one particular way. I know I'm that too, but we've learned to define ourselves as separate from it. Mm-hmm. Now we forgot what we were talking about.
It's the truth, but it's the truth.
And the beautiful swirl of the human, it's more complicated swirl of the human, is it has this false illusion that it's independent, acting separately from the Big Bang. And the way that that is set up, the way there is the creation of independence, is that you're seeking for something, and you're in this mission through time to find that something. Something, you're trying to find a thing. There are no things. It's all the Big Bang. It's all, and that's the illusion of self, and it's not really happening. And then life gets even more complicated, and for some unknown reason, tells itself in that process of the Big Bang that it's really the Big Bang and not the separate person looking for a thing. Can you see how funny it, how amazingly it does it? It sets someone up to look for a thing and gives the appearance of two, but there are no things. It's just energy, it's just so beautiful. incredibly, yeah, it's just mind-blowing. And all humans, all the great tragedies, the great dramas of the human is looking for that thing. Hitler was looking for that thing. Mother Teresa was looking for that thing. The paedophile was looking for that thing. The, who else is the actor, the artist, whatever it is looking for that thing. And all these tragedies and dramas and the lover was looking for that thing happen. They'll never find it because there's no thing. And in looking for the thing, it gives an appearance of someone. Because there's two. There's suddenly two of them. But there's no thing to get. There's just appearances, and it's all the same energy appearing. And there's no person to get anything. And God knows what the fuck I'm saying, it's just coming out of the mouth.
I never knew what the big thing was.
Well, I don't either. I really don't know what the big bang is either.
But you speak about it.
I know, but I really don't know what I'm talking about. But I really don't know what the big bang is.
What's that a big bang?
I don't know. it's just like a poem, like a just trying to. I love how all these different questions come. I don't know either. And then it was like, another pointless story that Lisa told. We've gone nowhere. We thought we were going somewhere. No, we went nowhere.
Is there something like this spark or the soul inside?
Sorry?
Is there something like this spark?
I don't know what a spark is.
From this big bang or what? Well, behind this person, what is this? Some kind of soul or what you call?
There's just.
Psychic being or whatever.
No, there's not two.
Part of this. Not part of.
The souls implies independence. Unless you're just talking about the description of things, but there's really ultimately no things, but we can seemingly describe things. We can't ultimately describe them. So we could describe the body of Lisa, we could describe the body of... But that's not an independence.
No.
So what would you mean by soul?
A spark.
A spark.
I mean, they talked about this spark from the eternal fire, or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
So it's in everybody, so it's spread like the big thing also.
Yeah, but I would say it's just in everybody, it's everywhere and everything, that spark.
Yeah.
So it's not just the body has it, this pointless piece of paper, well, has the internet on it, also has the spark. The chair has the spark, everything has it. It's not even break time, so just...